Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Aaron. It's great to be here this morning. I'm really excited today to be able to tell you about some new research that we've just had published that I've written with co-authors Albie Miles and Liz Carlisle, in which we really start to dig into this question about how much investment there really is right now going into agroecology. So we care about investment, of course, because we know that investment works. Investment in agricultural research and development really pays off. This means that investment is a very useful context to think about when we think about understanding not only the performance of different cropping, different agricultural systems and practices, but also the prevalence of those systems and the potential of those systems to improve. Of course, we know that the dominant models of agriculture are indeed highly productive. This is a big accomplishment of our time, but these systems continue to be the source of numerous challenges, both environmental and societal. Just to name a few, of course, we see big problems with runoff coming from our farms, with soil loss and nutrient loss. This runoff, of course, leads to major problems downstream, such as aquatic dead zones, like the one you see here in the Gulf of Mexico that we have annually now. These agricultural systems, agriculture in total, is contributing significantly to climate change. We see agriculture contributing 9% of the emissions inventory in the United States. And even in the current climate, we find that these systems are not resilient enough for us in the face of extremes such as drought and flooding. There's also, of course, a suite of public health problems that are clearly linked to our agricultural system, just one of which is, of course, the diet-related diseases that are affecting a very high number of adults in the United States. So as we start to grapple with these problems in a variety of different ways, it's very encouraging to see that agroecological approaches can reduce a lot of these challenges and maintain high levels of productivity. I'm talking about things like diversifying our cropping landscapes, having more than one crop in close proximity, incorporating buffer strips, such as the here with perennial prairie grasses into cropping systems, things like complex cropping rotations that incorporate crops that can tolerate drought and also fertilize our soils by fixing nitrogen, for example. Here we see lentils. Strategically incorporating animals into other food production systems, and developing perennial polycultures, among many, many more. So in light of this promise of agroecology and the need to kind of understand investment when we think about potential of these systems, we really wanted to ask this question about what is the current investment in agroecology. And when we started to dig into this question, we thought we would just look somewhere, find an answer, and start using it, but it wasn't that simple. We found that all estimates that were in the literature or elsewhere that looked at investment in sustainable agriculture in general mainly focused on organic and were quite outdated, and that just agroecology in particular simply wasn't being recorded or tracked in any way. So we needed to develop some methods that we could use to start to tackle this question. Our methods were basically split into two components. First was just simply developing a framework that we could use to define and identify key components of sustainability, sustainable agriculture, including agroecology in existing research and extension projects. And then we needed a data set, so we compiled and read reports of USDA-funded projects that began in 2014 to establish a baseline. And in all of these reports, we searched for components of sustainability and agroecology. I'll tell you more about this data set later, but first I just want to tell you about the framework that we used to classify and organize our analysis. Now, we based this on a concept by Steve Gleisman, which basically splits sustainable agriculture and the transition to greater sustainability into five different categories of practices and concepts. The first one, level one, is really about input efficiency. This is about growing more food with less input, so less fertilizers, less pesticides, less energy, water, and also reducing waste along the production process. So again, for every unit input, we have more food in the end. The second is about input substitution. So a lot of these types of things we see strongly in our organic systems. This is about substituting better practices and inputs for the more damaging ones that we have. So cover cropping green manures in place of chemical fertilizers, biological pest management in place of chemical pesticides, switching out annuals for perennials, and reducing tillage. For example, moving to conservation tillage in many of our fields. Now, level three is what we really think about as agroecology in this study, so take note of that. Level three is what we think about as redesigning the agricultural system based on ecological principles. So here, and remember those pictures I showed earlier, I'm talking about crop rotations, crop diversity, managing for biodiversity, managing for pollinators, climate change, and thinking about more innovative ways of managing our grazing systems and integrating crop and livestock. Of course, these kinds of field-level practices will lead to farm-scale sustainability, but if we really want to think about a truly sustainable food system, we need to go a step further and try to reconnect, reestablish that relationship between producers and consumers. For this, I'm talking about community, business, and policy supports in the form of CSAs, food hubs, community gardens, distribution centers, and folks who were on the organic tour will recall that we see lots of fantastic examples of these socioeconomic supports happening just in the backyard of this convention center. You'll want to note that Steve Gleisman talks about a level five. This is building on all of the earlier levels of sustainability to have a truly global and sustainable food system. This level is really outside of the scope of current funding and therefore our analysis, but I do want to let you know that we did crudely estimate what projects might be moving in the direction of level five as those that include the field level practices of level three and also the socioeconomic supports of level four. Within all of these four levels, what we did is we established a library of different components that fell within each of these different categories of sustainable agriculture. And we looked for these different components by reading through all of those project reports throughout the existing research and extension world. We also, in cases where we did not find any of these components of sustainable agriculture, we classified them as just being simply unrelated to sustainable agriculture outside of the scope of the study, or those that dealt with the externalities of unsustainable systems, so related but not in the same solution space. A little bit more about the data set of funded project reports that we used. We found these from the public USDA CRIS database. I think you're all probably familiar with that. And we looked for projects with grant amounts provided. We needed to do this because we were looking for the funding total investment in these practices. Importantly, this means that we did not include ARS projects in this analysis. Those are reported with $0 of funding in the current CRIS system. We wound up with these criteria with 824 projects representing $294 million, and we limited our analysis to three text fields, objectives, non-textual summary, and approach. We used a content analysis software to keep track of all of the codes that we looked for using these text fields in our analysis, and I want to stress that we were trying to be very conservative. We wanted to overfind agroecology rather than underfind it, so we were really trying to be very generous in the projects we coded for all of our practices. So what did we find? So we found that most projects had at least one component of sustainable agriculture, so that's great, right? So over 60% of these projects were related to sustainability at some level, meaning that they had some component in level one through four. But we did find that fewer projects included two or more components of sustainable agriculture, meaning that a lot of these were more narrowly limited on a small set of sustainability challenges and outcomes. Projects with three or more components were particularly rare, so just that small slice of the pie that you see there. And while we all clearly know and understand that it's very important to have very focused projects in many cases, it's also important to have some projects that try to grapple with a larger suite of sustainability issues. Furthermore, we found that projects that had lower level components received more total funding. So this figure that you're looking at right now shows the four levels on the x-axis and the total amount of funds that we analyzed on the y-axis that contained any component in any of these levels. So while there was more funding in projects that are on the left-hand side at level one, you'll see that there's less funding to projects with agroecology, which again was in that level three. In fact, this represented just 15% of our analyzed funds. We also found that many projects were outside of the scope of our sustainable agriculture definitions, with more of those being just simply unrelated and a good chunk of them dealing with the externalities of unsustainable systems. You're going to have to take note that level one was largely was based largely on yield, explicitly yield-based projects. So many of these projects in level one only included a component that was looking at increasing yield in crops or animals. And that's important because when you move those projects over the unrelated category, the picture really changes. So just keep that in mind as there's some debate about whether increasing yields is truly a component of sustainable agriculture. We've been looking at how at the projects that contained any component of any of these levels, but remember that many of these projects had more than one component that represented more than one level. So we also calculated an average level for each project and then looked at how the total funding then split between these different projects. And we looked at it this way. We found that even fewer projects had a focus on agroecology, so just 10% included somewhat of an emphasis on agroecological practices. And I mentioned that we had we also looked at those projects that could be more transformative as being those that included practices in levels 3 and 4. And when we looked at these practices, we found that only 4% or less of these of funding going to these projects contained both of these important features. When we zoom in and look just at those components that were in this level 3 of agroecology, so you see here all of the components on the x-axis and again the percent of the funds that we analyzed on the y-axis, and you see that looking at any one of these specific types of focuses within agroecological practices received less than 6% of the total amount of funds. So you're thinking about something like projects focused on biodiversity as having about 2% or less of the total amount of funding. Just for perspective, these amounts of dollars that were going into any of these things were all well below 1% of the research, extension, and education budget, the larger research and education budget. So we're talking about a small amount of money. So I want to reiterate a few take-home points quickly. Of the $294 million of projects reports that we analyzed, we saw that over 60% included at least one component of advancing sustainable agriculture when we consider that to be any of the four levels. We found that, however, less than 15% of this total amount of funding included in any capacity agroecological practices, in any capacity. I want to stress that we were, again, very conservative. And less than 4% of those funds went to what we might consider transformative agroecology or something en route to transformative agroecology. Now, for perspective, again, those projects, including agroecology, represented at a larger scale less than 2% of the REE mission area budget and just a tiny fraction of the USDA budget. Now, I have to note that there are other ways in which the USDA and REE do support agroecology, most likely, that couldn't be captured by our analysis. So these are things like ARS, like I mentioned, which was not included in our analysis, but also things like hatch funds that support faculty members, that's funding through NIFA, and was not captured in our analysis, but probably supporting, you know, agroecological and food systems professors. But there's so much room for improvement here when we think about it. So that's really what we want to stress as a take-home point. If you're interested in learning more, the paper was just published on Friday in Environmental Science and Policy. You can find that online. That is open source, so you should share it widely. And we also have a fact sheet that's designed for a broader audience to talk about some of the bigger picture of the issues that came up from our analysis. And you can come to our booth to pick up the fact sheet, and it's also online as well. If you're interested in agroecological research, you might be interested in this expert statement for public investment in agroecology that we've developed at UCS. We have over 300 signers now. The purpose of this statement is really to figure out the demand, to quantify the demand for this kind of research. So our study that I told you about today is really about quantifying the funding that's supporting this kind of research, but we also want to know who is out there who wants to do this work. So check that out. And with that, I want to thank many, many people, my co-authors, of course, Liz Carlisle and Albie Miles, several people at UCS who helped with this project. Many people offered advice and reviews, including Steve Leisman himself, Mark Lipson, who did the organic quantification of investment in the past, and many members of the USDA who helped us figure out how to navigate that system, and many, many funding agencies. I want to quickly advertise our booth. Please come and see us. I will be there from 5 to 6 today to talk about this analysis, and also on Wednesday from 10 to 11. And I want to pitch quickly a great town hall session that is happening on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. It features my colleague Ricardo Salvador, but also a lot of other really wonderful people, and it should be a very interesting discussion on perspectives of sustainability. So thank you very much.